for amen. Let's look at verse 9 and 10, okay? It reads, "Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." Okay, in what way, Lord? Let's see verse 10. "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." So we just saw in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 through 10, the one thing I want us to see, that the Lord, in Him being eternal, in verse 10, He declaring the end from the beginning. He's the God of eternity, past, present, and future. Amen? There is nothing that is hidden from Him that has been done, that will be done from now to the dispensation of the fullness of times. He declares the end from the what? The beginning. He is the all-wise God. Okay? Declares the end from the beginning. All right? Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Romans chapter 11. Verse 25. One thing I really appreciate when we were going through the book of 2 Timothy, it unfolds to us during the last days of this dispensation of the grace of God, the state, the mindset, how the church will not endure sound doctrine. They won't endure it. Someone help me out. When it says that the church, that they will not, for the time will come in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when they will not endure sound doctrine, what does that say? Right. Now help me out. Sound doctrine. What that also is saying, thank you, they won't tolerate it. What that also is saying is the time will come when the only gospel that saves today, they won't even endure that. They don't want to hear the gospel for today. They don't want to hear how we are to live under grace and not under law. They don't. The time has come. It is coming, but even it's going to get stronger. They don't want to hear that Paul apostleship, that he's a separated apostle, and he's the apostle of the Gentiles, and that the 12 during Christ's earthly ministry, and once again Judas passed, Matthias stepped in the picture to complete the 12. They don't want to hear that their doctrine is just doctrine to be learned, not so much to be applied. They don't want to hear that the 12 apostles are not our apostles. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come when they won't endure it. But once again, 2 Timothy lets us know these things. 2 Timothy gives us a heads up of the things that get this, the body of Christ. They don't want to hear. The time is coming and is now among us, even in Paul's day. They don't want to hear God's word. Preach God's way. They don't want to hear about right division. Open the Bible, just teach it and I'll apply it. Wherever, just teach from that. The time is coming. They don't want to hear that. And it's now upon us. Amen. Romans chapter 11. Let's read verse 25. Romans 11 verse 25. And it reads, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part hath happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Romans 11:25, I want us to hang on to fullness of the Gentiles be come in, okay? What I'm doing, I'm helping us with prerequisites of things to know before we get to the major topic for the day, okay? Okay, now open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's start reading at verse 15. And it reads, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, we call that, or the verse, let's let the verse say, in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's where we meet the Lord. Where at? In the clouds, in the air. Amen? In the air. And this is me not going word for word, but it's me telling you, it's me writing down what we see here. I see what you see. So God declares the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46, 9 through 10, Romans 11, 25, the fullness of the Gentiles we come in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 through 18, the saints, the body of Christ, is going to meet the Lord in the air. Now, when we meet the Lord in the air, what dispensation has came to a close? The dispensation of the grace of God. When the saints, the body of Christ, meet the Lord in the air, Romans through Philemon, for doctrine, for application to take in how someone on earth is to live, is no longer into effect. Paul doctrines being the apostle of the Gentiles will at that time be in with the Lord in the clouds in the air. Amen? So with that being said, and with me once again making this teaching to, and hear me, I'm not overstating the teaching that we just had over the last year and a half with 2 Timothy chapter 2. I am not overstating how wholesome that teaching was. So please don't think I am. Please don't get bored with me stating how it impacted me intellectually with a renewed mindset. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's start at verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. And it reads, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time might come. Come on. For the time will come when they, who is the they? The body of Christ. Who is a member of the body of Christ? So guess what? As I read that, I understand I have to be watchful, I have to be careful. It's a possibility that I could become one of the they. See, I don't know about you, but I take this personally. It's a possibility that I can become one of the they. So God declares that from the beginning, since I believe this to be true, I believe that time will come when they, and I could be one of the day, will not endure sound doctrine. There are certain questions I need to straight up ask myself. And a lot of the questions that I ask myself, that we're going to ask ourselves today, has a lot to do with this. Trying to see, is it a black marker? Let's see how this goes. Can we see that? Why do we come here? Why do I come here? Why have some of us who've been coming here for a couple weeks continue to come? Why do some of us who've been coming here for a couple months continue to come? Why do some of us who've been coming here for years upon year, upon year, upon year, why are you still here and why do you continue to come? If we're not careful, just like anything in life, it just can become, that's the routine, that's the habit of my life. And some routines that we do and some habits that we partake in, there's nothing special about them. There's nothing significant about some of the things we do daily. But this, as I read, and as we went through the book of 2 Timothy, every time, not just 2 Timothy, but every time we come here, it needs to be a mirror with the doctrine trying to search and find you, and then for that doctrine, you can receive the profit from it, for it to be profitable. So why do we come here? And I'm going to have six E's. Six. So we're going to have six words that all begin with the letter E, and we're going to have verses that I think is wise for us to grasp why we come here. Because if you truly know that the time will come, that 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, verse 4, and they, the body of Christ, individuals, they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's going to happen. But this is the beautiful thing that Paul tells Timothy. Watch what Paul tells Timothy in verse 5. This is what we want to do. This is what we're taking steps with today. But watch thou in how many things? In all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. This is what we want to be up to. This is what Grace Family Bible Church, we want to be those that people see, people know. We want to know he comes, she comes, because they are watching. They are ready to receive something from the Word of God, studying God's Word, God's way, and they are on the lookout with that humbleness of mind, knowing that if they're not careful, if they're not watchful, if I'm not careful, if I'm not watchful, I can turn my ears away from the truth. But I need to be watchful to know what the truth is, always desire it, stay faithful to it, and make sure I'm not going to turn away from it. I don't know about you, but when we were going through 2 Timothy, that bell was ringing, and that bell was ringing loud. I hope I heard the right bell, Pastor. I hope I heard it right, because that's what I heard. I heard watch. I heard watch. Do it this way. Watch out for doing it that way. Do it this way. Watch out for doing it that way. Watch out for the vain babblings. Watch out for the unlearned questions. These things to avoid. Study to show yourself approved unto God. This is what I heard. Watch out for. Watch to stay faithful in. Amen? And seriously, the first E we go deal with, no, let me get a verse first. Some of these verses, 2 Timothy 3:16 lets us know all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So can we go? Can we use the entirety of the Bible correctly and properly and receive profitable doctrine and still rightly divide it carefully? What I mean by that is, can I go to a letter that's not Pauline and it be profitable for me to apply that as long as I'm not reading myself into Israel under the law and trying to bring that promise to us in this dispensation? I can do that, right? That's rightly dividing the word of truth. Because from Genesis to Revelation, is there any error in God's word? There's no error, but I need to be careful to rightly divide it, not read myself into Israel promises, not put myself under what the word of God puts them under, the law, the covenants, and the promises to them. Amen? Okay, with us saying that, go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, we're going to be reading verses 10 through 12. 10 through 12, Acts 17, verse 10 reads, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. 11, there were more noble, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. 12. Therefore, many of them believe, also of honorable women with Greeks, and of men, not a few. The first E, why do we come here? The first E I want to say hang on to is, we should always come here ready and expecting to have that Berean attitude. What is the Berean attitude? And I understand this is not a Pauline letter. It's the book of Acts that we're in. But the Berean attitude, we're going to show you, the Word of God will show you what it is. Look at verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received, here's the Berean attitude, the Word with all what? With all readiness of mind, but they also did something else. And they searched the scriptures how often? Daily. To do what? To see whether those things were what? Were so. Paul, we hear you, but you know what? We got the readiness of mind to hear you, but we still going to search out those scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. To see whether those things were so. I come here year after year. It had been years now. Year after year. This is why I come here. I come here expecting, looking forward to something and anticipating the hope that comes from the Word of God, to study the Word of God rightly divided. I come here expecting to be taught the Word of God in a rightly divided, rich manner. I'm coming with that mindset. I got that readiness of mind when I'm coming. Saturday night, man, yeah. Wish I only lived 5-10 minutes away. For Wednesdays I could be here. I live about 50 minutes away. You know what I'm saying? 40 minutes, especially if I was to try to come here Wednesday night. It's rough. We start late. We're working on that. Pastor Leroy, I'm pretty sure he shared some things with you, Pastor Scott. The point being, what's the point? The readiness of mind. This is why I want to be here. This is why I want to be here. This is what those in 2 Timothy, they laid aside. The body of Christ. When the time comes when you not endure sound doctrine, what you expect to hear when a congregation come together, you lay something aside. You're coming together with a lack of readiness of mind. Some of us come on. These are questions we have to ask ourselves. Some of us maybe come because, well, let me put this verse down. You have to, what is it? 10-12. You have to be careful. You have to question yourself. And you know, sometimes I make very personal statements. Do I come here just because my husband come here? Just because my wife come here? Because my son come here? Because my daughter come here? Because God, why do I come? Me? Am I expecting that I can learn how to search the scriptures daily? To listen, man, that was a good message that Pastor Leroy teach, that Pastor Scott teach, Mr. Rondell teach. You know what? I'm going to search that out. Search that out. Amen. 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, please. Because I say, if we are not going to become one of them that turn their errors away from the sound doctrine, it's going to be intentional. You ain't going to be lackadaisical about it. And if you are, the scriptures are not encouraging you to be lackadaisical about it. Amen? The scriptures are not encouraging lackadaisicalness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's read verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What a beautiful thing. The first word in that verse is study. I come here expecting to study the Word of God. To study the Word. To study the Word. But not just that. In the middle of that verse, a couple words after the word study, I come here to study and to learn how to study to show myself approved unto God. I got God in mind when I come here. I'm going to search the scriptures daily. I'm going to see how precise. I'm going to see a fact. Does he really declare the end from the beginning? Is he really as wise? And let me see. He really got this thing laid out. This cross of reference with this. This cross of reference with that. Okay, I'm going to find out the distinctions from this great age, from this age of time past and to come. I see how the law and grace, how they operate differently. Now I see why Paul is not with the 12. I'm going to see these things. I'm coming here to learn these things. And if I can have that approved workmanship unto God, it's all good. It's all great. My husband go here. My wife go here. My son go here. I got family members. I got close friends. That's fine. I got God. I got the approval of God in mind. I got the hope that the scriptures can give me that comes from God in mind. And as you continue to read the verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Do you know what that lets me know? There's a day coming for the saints, the body of Christ, that how I study, who I'm studying to be approved unto, there's a day come that there's a possibility that I can feel shame before God. And how I study God's Word. If I don't study God's Word, God's way, that gives me just an inclination. That's the day coming that I will be ashamed before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, this shame has nothing to do with loss of salvation. But I don't know how long the shame will last. I do know from that verse and from what we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for those who don't study God's Word, God's way, that's saved. Who don't study God's Word, God's way, and teach and train people not to study God's Word, God's way, but still study God, but don't study the way Pastor Scott says. So listen. You can get water baptized. Not just can you, brother, you really should get water baptized. Speaking in tongues is really something to prove that God is at work in your life. The time is coming that even for those who say, I don't know whether it's going to be for a brief moment or whether it's going to linger a little. Not their soul salvation, but they will feel some type of shame. Says the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let's start at verse 10. Paul writes, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Continue, love it. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Read close verse 13 with me. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Every man's work. Every member of the body of Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Let's think about what it says. Study to show thyself approved unto God a workman. Every man's work. A workman who needeth not to be ashamed. So it's safe to say that not even just how you work out your ministry, how you work among individuals and trying to preach the gospel, but even your way of studying, even the things that you may never share, but the thing will not, well, I'm not going to tell the pastors that I do believe water baptism is necessary. I'm not going to tell them that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 lets us know that God knows the intention and thoughts of the heart. Amen? So the beautiful part, see, when you learn how to study God's Word, God's way, your approval really becomes, you start to really put Him in the high seat of majesty that the Word of that His Word places Him in. And you have not being ashamed before Him in mind. You tell yourself, watch out. You tell yourself, watch out. Because you understand that's the way His Word instructs you to. All Scripture is given by, and this is one of my favorite verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Members of the body of Christ, we always need to renew our mind. We always need that reproof in our behavior. We always need correction in the way we think. And we got to renew the mind daily. Meaning, just like you get clothed daily, daily. I need to I really didn't think about that the right way yesterday. I really didn't think. Oh, okay, well, you got today. Put on that new man. That mind. Put on that mind that's renewed in knowledge. Renewed in knowledge. Do it God with God's word, God's way. Amen. Amen. So let's finish. Okay, verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. 15. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yes, so as by fire. So guess what this is telling me? This is telling me as a member of the body of Christ, I'm going to see whether my work receive gold, silver, or precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. It may be for a brief moment, but if I see that wood, hay, and stubble, on that shame may be but for a moment, but it's going to be some type of shame present. May I be careful to say, the end of verse 15, but he himself shall be his salvation, her salvation, not in jeopardy. But ashamed before God, you will understand what it is. Not with your salvation ever being in jeopardy. Amen? Amen. Okay, so why do we come? The first reason why we come expecting to receive that sound doctrine. We come to search the scriptures daily to see whether the things are so. We come to search the scriptures to be approved unto God. We come expecting to learn how to study that we don't be ashamed before God. We really come. That's what who am I? We come with God and Christ in mind. We come with God and Christ in mind. Believe that. Let's go to that was, you know what? I forgot to put an E down and got so cut up into it. So, expecting, and you already know, because 2 Timothy chapter 2 teaches us how to study the Word of God. So, we come expecting to receive the education from the Word of God. Amen. We come to get educated by God. You got people who go to school, some kids can start school at 3-4 years old. And some of them, if they work their way through college, don't maybe get out to 25? So from 3 to age 25, they have received an education about just the way the world, the knowledge of technology, how this works, how that works. Some of them spend 22 years consecutively for the sake of learning whatever procedures, whatever observations they need to learn for the job that they desire to have, for the field they desire to work in. We come to receive that education from the Word of God. We come to receive and to inquire instruction in His knowledge. That's what education is. You're receiving instruction, you're receiving information, you're receiving knowledge how to apply in some type of field. And we come learning to seek out how to study God's Word, God's way, rightly divided, and to apply it in our lives and to express it to the world. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go. We will spend a lot more time in Paul's letters, but when we turn to Acts, a lot of what we turn into in Acts, we looking at Paul do things. So go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We are doing this in a rightly divided manner. Please know that. Acts chapter 20. We're going to read the first two verses, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed forth to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. Exhortation. Does anyone know what exhortation is? Because in Acts 20, it said he gave them much exhortation. Exhortation. He is receiving urgent advice and truth to persuade, to encourage. He's giving them the word of God. He's giving them doctrine that they need to know how to live, who Christ is, how precious Christ is in their lives, how that secures them for their eternity's sake, and how they are to impact the world around them with this Christ that have now saved them. Amen. And it says, once again, let's look at that verse again, verse 2, and when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And one of the number one things we want to be careful of is to always know we are coming here to study. We want doctrine. We want much doctrine, much sound doctrine. We want it to be true. We want it to be rich. We want it to be wholesome because we want that exhortation. We want that education from the Word of God. We come expecting this. Expecting. This is why we come. This is why we should come. This is why we should come. That's why we should come. Come to Romans chapter 14. No, I'll take that. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to just read verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Timothy is to give himself attendance to exhortation, attendance to reading, attendance to doctrine. You know what? Show up. Show up. Come to the Word of God. Ready, read the Word of God, come ready to receive the urgent truth in it, and guess what? Persuade others with it. Persuade others with it. Are we beseeching, begging the world to trust that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures? Are we beseeching them on our behalf or His behalf? His behalf. He's telling us, persuade them with my word. Persuade them. If they are wondering, are you trying to persuade me? Yeah. See, like you really want me to believe what you believe, like what you believe is the truth. Let me, God, I'll show you this verse. It is, and yes, I hope I'm doing it meekly. I hope I'm doing it humbly. I hope I'm doing it gently. I hope that you see me as a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, temperate. But yeah, I'm trying to persuade you. I'm trying. We come to receive that exhortation, to learn how to do so, and we come expecting this. Expect. It's Sunday. Let's get it. Brooklyn, come on. But we come expecting this. You ready? Rejoice in the Lord. Come on, Brooklyn, rejoice in the Lord. Come on, let's go. You got the camera? Okay, let's go. But we come expecting this. We come expecting this. Titus chapter 1. Let's start at verse 7. Titus chapter 1, verse 7. Titus 1, 7, and it reads, for a bishop must be blameless, a steward of God, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Let me say something real essential. Understand, when we talk about the office of a bishop, we normally and we should look at the qualifications and the characteristics that person is are to have, and we just single that out sometimes to leadership. You've been hearing me express this throughout the weeks. Those are qualities that all members, those are characteristics that all members of the body of Christ should desire them out. Pastor Scott, would you agree? Those are characteristics, because it's not let's model a bishop. It's let's model Christ as he ought to be modeled in this dispensation of the grace of God. It's all about who? Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And in this time, the but now, it's Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. It's the hidden wisdom. To preach Jesus according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, under the kingdom program we just went over a couple weeks ago, that will be to proclaim and to preach another Jesus. We're not preaching another Jesus. We are preaching the Jesus that is to be declared and seen in this but now age. Amen. Romans 3, Philemon. And this is what's going on, that in verse 9 it says that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. What is a gainsayer? A gainsayer is one who denies and opposes what you are saying. They deny and oppose it. Now, the beautiful thing that we also want to recognize is something that it don't talk about. In verse 9, it talk about that he had to hold fast the faithful word. Do you know verse 7 and verse 8? He's not self-willed, not soon angry. He brings that not soon angry approach when he is exhorting someone. I'm trying to persuade you, but I still got that composure. You're opposing the sound doctrine. I'm listening. So let's look at the verse, verse 7. Not self-willed, not soon angry, not giving the lying no striker, not giving the filthy lucre, a lover of hospitality, a lover of good man, sober, just, holy, temperate. Temperate. I understand you don't believe me, but I just want you to see the verse. I'm not proclaiming and teaching me. I listened to you. I heard you out. I read your verses. And they're not mine or yours, but I'm asking you to read this verse. I'm asking you just this verse and what it says in Mike 16 about how he who is not baptized is damned already. Is it the same as what's being said in 1 Corinthians 15? That's all I'm asking you, bro. That's all I'm asking you, sister. Is it saying the same? Temperate. You're exhorting them. They're denying you. Wow. You put on Christ and renewed your mind that morning. You was ready for that, huh? You was ready for that. And guess what you did? The temperance you brought, you left the door wide open. That guess what he don't got or she don't got to be concerned with? You looking down on them. You know what? You just don't know. That's why. You temperate. I mean, if you don't see that, you really got to be a fool or something. Come on. Sometimes, you see, when we don't put on that renewed mind, it says not soon angry. We get soon angry. You didn't see that? I showed you 13 verses. You didn't see that? Not soon angry. You understand, you got the truth. You understand who's constraining you, who's instructing you, and who power you are going in. You're going in Christ's power, doing what is meekness. But this is what his word does. His word instructs you to do this. You don't come up with this on your own. I don't come up with this on my own. His word instructs us to do this. Amen? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And guess what? Now, what we always want to do, always link it with the lesson for today. The lesson for today is, guess what? Somewhere along the line, the church, the body of Christ, in 2 Timothy, this approach, it wasn't meaningful for them. To come expecting them to receive that sound doctrine and that right division out of education, to exhort one another, to be exhorted, to urge the pastors, the bishops, to urge the teachers, teach that word, preach that good word. not patting you on the back, Pastor, but hey, good work.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, you gonna do a lesson on that? Do that. Yeah. Yeah. You understand those who labor among you. You understand, guess what? It's a work. It's a work. And that's something that I forgot to go. Come to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I know I said Romans 5, but Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Sometimes we strain ourselves out for some things that's necessary right after the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Right after Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And the reason why I keep saying that is because I just got this. Amen. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. What we want to do is we want to look at verse 11 and 12.
Amen.
And Pastor, I mean, help me out with this G word. 11. The words of the wise are gold. Scars?
Gold.
Gold. Thank you. The words of the wise are gold. And ask, and tell you what they are. And ask, nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Look close to verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let's think about this for a moment. That verse is not rebuking much study. What the verse is giving you a clear answer that much study is a weariness of the flesh. Question. And I'm going to ask by a raise of hands. Has anybody ever went to work and came home and said you was beat, you were surely tired when you ever? Not saying all the time, but have you ever went to work and came home and like said, listen, the bed is calling my full name and my middle name. Here I come. Have you ever went to work with Bill? Have you ever did yard work? And know you did your thing. You're like, ooh, I did it. That company coming over an hour later, or you did some type of cooking for the family for some holiday, and when they left it, I'm beat up. Have you ever been tired of doing something like that? Have you ever, on a normal basis, know what it is to study the Word of God till you're tired? Let's look at the verse here. Verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making of many books, there is no end. Books will be made. Every day, books are being just thrown off the presses, right? How about the end of it? And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Do you know what it is to study the Word of God? That studying His precious, precious, rich, unsearchable riches that we have in Romans 3, Philemon, rich word. Have you studied it to the point on a normal basis that you know what it is to be tired from studying His Word? You know what it is to be tired? To leave work, truly drained, and in 10 hours, you got to be right back there. And guess what you do? You go right back there. You see, I'm saying this for us to understand what we can do to look out for things for us to stay faithful to that sound doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine. Let's do all that we can that we don't be one of those they. And I'm here to tell you, guess what's going to help you not be one of those day? That the Word of God, that in Titus it said that the bishop is supposed to be exhorting and trying to convince the gainsayers, you allowing it to convince you daily. Convince me. Yep, it's true. Yeah, that's true too. Yeah, that's my hope. Heavenly places. Paul's my apostle. Oh yeah. Under grace and not law. Ha ha! Search those scriptures daily. Help me, Lord. Help me. But I know I find your help there. I know I got to study your word, but I know I got to study it your way to receive the prophets from it. I know it's going to tell me when I'm wrong, but guess what it's going to do? It's going to instruct me in your righteousness. It's going to instruct me. It's going to instruct me in your righteousness. The body of Christ, this is what we should come here for. Sunday after Sunday. Learning how. Doing what we learn. Exhorting others. Persuading others. And now let's move on to the next one. Romans 5. And I tell you, one of the most beautiful things about from the moment you got saved, and if you could see any type of growth in your life from the moment you got saved, you absolutely know it's possible for someone else to experience that same growth. You know it. You know, if you really got a humbleness of mind, even though it don't seem like they haven't whatever, you understand the possibility and how it's going to come about. You understand, if you have experienced any type of growth, you know it's possible for anybody to experience who's saved. But believe me, there's some things that got to be done. Some doctrine they got to study and believe. Amen. Romans chapter 5, let's start at verse 1. Romans 5, 1, and it reads, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I know these ain't, you know, I got 4 up here. See, we come expecting search the scriptures to receive the education that the Word of God is going to install in us through His Word. To be exhorted by that word. We see God urging us with this word, trying to persuade the members of the body of Christ, with He who is the head of the body. We're being persuaded. Here's the word. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Amen. We're being persuaded. When we are being persuaded by Christ, we're being persuaded by His Word. So we come and receive that exhortation. And guess what? When we start to receive these 3, number 4 is huge. You start to experience that it works in you. This can never happen outside of these first 3, though. You catch this? You cannot bypass these 3 and walk directly into that. You don't want to search the scriptures daily? You don't come ready to receive it with all readiness of mind? You don't want the education from rightly dividing word of truth, studying God's word, God's way. Okay, well, it can't. You will never be able to experience that. You don't want the exhortation that the Word of God, in order for you. We're coming back to Romans 5. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to see this by the verse. I keep quoting it, but I want you to see it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. No, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to see it. We will be turning back to Romans 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's read verse 16, okay? All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. You know, people go to beautiful places and this and that, or take long drives. I just need some inspiration. I just need to be inspired to really do what I know I got to do in life. Our scriptures are given by inspiration of God. Ain't no inspiration topping that. Okay? But all scriptures given by inspiration of God, 16, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Get this. Look at verse 17. 16 is a prerequisite for verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto what? All good works. You see, that's the one thing also that right division teaches you. It teaches you, we don't put the cow before the horse. We ain't stressing, do good. We stressing, listen, get this doctrine in you. Get the doctrine in you, And the doctrine will work its way out of you unto all good works. Amen? Because even if you're doing the right thing, but with the wrong doctrine, is God getting glory? God ain't getting glory. God ain't getting glory for you doing the right thing. You know why? Because it's not His inspiration that's the foundation of it. All scriptures give my inspiration of God. And if it ain't study, if you ain't studying God's will, God's ways, you're not rightly dividing it. He still ain't getting the glory out of it. Amen. Back to Romans 5. Back to Romans 5. That's another 10 minutes we got to close this out. Romans 5. Let's look back there at verse 4. You see what verse 4 says? And patience, experience, and experience hope. I come here ready to experience the Word of God. That word, the Word of God, when you experience it, the gloom that you once saw as gloom, the Word of God replaces that and it produces hope. Experience hope. Experiencing the Word of God is really how you rejoice in the Lord. When you rejoice in the Lord, hear me, you got sound doctrinal verses. That rejoice in the Lord, that is such a weighty verse, because I rate that to being totally dispensational. Meaning, from the moment you believe the gospel, your justification becomes instant and your glorification is a done deal. Come with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. It's never in jeopardy. It's never in jeopardy. It's never in jeopardy. Your eternal life with the Lord is never in jeopardy. Your position in the heavenly places, it's never in jeopardy. Just go read one verse. Matthew chapter 24, let's read verse 13. You see, they don't got saints throughout the other dispensations. They don't have the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit that instantly seals them, and there's no way that they can get out of it. It's all in time past and in the ages to come. Under Israel and the law, it's all conditional. It's based on them continuing in. Observe all my commandments. Do all. Which is why, yes, Matthew 24, verse 13 reads, but he that shall endure until the what? Until the end of the tribulation period, or until the end of his last breath. He that, you understand? The same shall be saved. His glorification, him to be in that kingdom on earth, ruling and reigning with Christ, and to receive the promises that was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's dependent on every waking moment of his or her life under the time past and the ages to come dispensation. Do you understand when we say rejoice in the Lord, we understand all that's in Christ and all his riches, they all ours from the moment you believe that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures and that he was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. You believe that? Your salvation, no matter what you do, how you do it, is ever in jeopardy again, says the Word of God. Ephesians 1:13. You seal with that Holy Spirit of promise. Says the Word of God. It says the Word of God. That's not the same for saints in other dispensations. Amen. So we experience this, and it produces a what? A hope. Philippians chapter 4. Got to line it up. Philippians 4. It produces a hope. And Romans 5 said, this hope maketh what? It maketh not ashamed. And then it tells you why. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God is reigning. And you know what that means? Even his love is doctrinal. You know what he did. You know God commended his love for me and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You know his love. He expressed it. Philippians chapter 4. Let's start reading at verse 6. And the piece of 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you see the experience in that verse? That's experience in the peace of God. Let's read that again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. If the peace of God, no matter what you're going through after you bring it to prayer, is really keeping your hearts and minds, and it passeth all understanding, look at verse 7, look at it with me, shall keep your hearts and minds through who? You see, when we have to learn how to understand how to esteem Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the way God the Father does. See, God the Father treasures the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father treasures the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are accepted in the beloved. We're accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to learn, God the Father treasures His righteousness. God the Father treasures Him. So as we learn how to treasure Him and be educated as we search the Scriptures daily to see those things are so, we see God the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We see God the Father honor Him, listen to Him. We see it when Moses and Elijah appear on the side. He says, listen to Him. We see God the Father esteeming Jesus Christ. The more we do that, the more we start to see, experience, and witness that, see, that's when that peace of God we start to experience. We start to have a confidence and a security in Christ the way that God the Father wants us to see that Christ is in you. Experience His peace. And this is how you experience His peace. We're not going to get done with all of these. We'll continue some other time. Experience His peace. Look at verse 8. This is how you experience His peace. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, oh, these things. This is not saying, yo, wrong trip. Wrong trip. We're going to go experience these things. That's a good report. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go to, you know, like, I have Delaware, New Hampshire, man. It's just lovely around there. Wrong trip. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You don't have to go further than right here to experience all these things. These things are all talking about. That's all. Jesus Christ, according to Revelation of Mystery, and even Christ in time past, you see how He's going to fulfill the promises. You don't got to go any further. Keep your nose right here. He said, guess what? Think on these things. When people backbite you, when people do you wrong, let's make this personal. Let's make this real personal. Let me be real delicate, but real personal with this. When somebody don't respect me at work, when I just don't care for the president, what should I be thinking of? What should I be thinking of? What should I be thinking of? Come, you catch that? You see, because when I think on that, guess what has me? The peace of God that passeth all understanding. You see, the Word of God says, you got to learn how to reason how I want you to reason. The reason why you don't got peace in this situation and that situation, the things you're supposed to be thinking on, guess how much time you spend thinking on them. Guess how much time you spend diligently searching how much who you really should be treasuring. And I hope we all got people in our lives outside of church, or hopefully we could be that model that people can see, man, peace of God always with her. Peace of God always with him. This going on in life, that going on in their life, like, what's up? Why are you acting like that's a small matter? Second Corinthians chapter 4 lets us know that, you know what I mean, the things that are seen are temporal. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 lets me know that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. What you talking about? I believe the verses. Last verse, verse 10. No, verse 9. So it said, verse 8 ended with what? Think on these things. Verse 9 says, those things, Paul is writing, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and that's what's going to happen again. And the God of peace will be with you. Why you going to run from that peace right there, Rondell? I ain't going to run from it. I'm going to believe and expect when I get here, the teaching pastors, they're going to search the scriptures with me. They're going to ask me to open my Bible. I'm going to open my Bible to this page, that page, this book, that book. I'm going to get that sound doctrine. They're going to educate me wherever you go turn. They're going to urge me to believe with some exhortation what we just read. They're going to tell me how to experience the words on the page that's going to bring me that peace that, get this, pass all understanding. So the things that all my family members remember me complaining about years ago, or maybe even last month, the more I learn how to experience this, bye-bye, baby. Bye-bye to those things that I used to cause me to get me down, used to rob me of my peace. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I'm believing the words on the page now. I want you to do it too. Amen. Grace and peace, glory to God. Questions or comments?